Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Thank you for waiting through our political forum that we just had with the selectmen from Abington as they got their big election this coming Saturday. Get out and vote. Joining us now for this particular segment is none other than your Lieutenant Governor, Karen Polito, who's joining us. Lieutenant Governor, how are you this good evening?
Yes, good evening. I'm so happy to be with both of you. And I remember those elections when I first was elected in Shrewsbury. It was to the Board of Selectmen, and I'll never forget that election day. It actually snowed on the morning of election day, and that was May 1st, 1995.
Wait. I have to ask, didn't the governor abolish the word snow during his first 100 days?
That is true. That is something that we shoveled, looked at, watched on TV, experienced like so many others in this state. And we're very, very happy to see such a nice spring and a slow melt to all that snow.
And I interrupted you, but as you were saying about being elected to the Board of Selectmen, go ahead, please continue that thought.
It's just great. It's the experience in local government is so rewarding. I mean, this is your neighborhood. This is your community, and to serve on a Board of Selectmen or a school committee or any other appointed or elected board, you're literally on the front lines, you know, making decisions about the quality of life for people in your community. And, you know, that's where Governor Baker and I both started our public service. And we really feel that the experience we had serving in local government is very valuable to us now as we make decisions for all of the communities across our Commonwealth.
Mm. I have to say, and we had the governor on last week. We talked with him for just a couple of minutes, talking with him about the MBTA report. Your conversation with us today kind of differs, as we're going to kind of look back at the first 100 days. I kind of like in your administration's first 100 days, and you're going to like this analogy because I know that I believe you're a Red Sox fan. It's almost like the Boston Red Sox starting out with a handicap of like they're down 5-0. And that I almost kind of, when I look at what all that your administration had to endure the first 100 days, you had a major deficit of items that had happened that you had to handle and take care of. Am I correct?
Well, there certainly was a lot of discovery in the first 100 days. First and foremost, the deficit in the current fiscal year, which was somewhere around $768 million. Mm. And that was right off the bat, you know, right out of the gate, just having to rebalance the current year budget without raising taxes or raiding the rainy day funds and protecting our cities and towns and the aid to their schools and their municipalities that already was promised to them. And we did that, you know, in the very first week and did that in cooperation with the legislative members who reacted very quickly to our proposal to rebalance it and, you know, keep the current year going. And that was a good first sign that our administration is very much in tune with reaching across party lines, working in collaboration with our legislative partners on Beacon Hill, and getting things done. That's what people want to see. But soon after, we had to face the fiscal year 16 budget, which begins July 1, and we discovered a $1.8 billion deficit going into the next year. Mm-hmm. So all of that was like the bread and butter stuff we had to really focus on every day. And then, of course, it snowed and it snowed and it snowed, which definitely compounded the issues in front of us. And it was interesting how to balance not getting distracted completely by managing the snow events in our state and doing the things every day that we have to get done, like balancing our budget.
And during, I think if it wasn't for the record snowfall that we saw this winter, when would we have found out all the troubles that we currently have with our transit system? Do you ask yourself that?
Well, yeah, I suppose over time, slowly, the problem would have been revealed, but it really, in a way, is a blessing that we were able to discover it in the fullness of it in the month of February, really. And it was an amazing experience. Getting in there every day, literally our chief of staff and our leadership team embedded with the MBTA officials to get in place a process every day to just manage the operation, you know, with predictability, with certainty, so that we could restore full service within 30 days for the people that rely on it. The other thing we discovered is that, you know, rail and the MBTA are very valuable assets to our economy and to people's quality of life. People, you know, really love using the public transportation system in the greater Boston area and, you know, to the outer areas where I'm from, especially in Worcester. People love using the rail, so it has to be done. It has to be provided with reliable service that people can, you know, use. And, you know, during those weeks, I was able to get on the rail and take it in, and I saw firsthand, you know, how problematic it was, the delays, the trains filling up, you know, early on in the trip in, many people stranded on platforms. It was a tough go for a while for our commuters, and, you know, we thanked them for sticking with us and continuing to use it. And during that time, the roads became so overwhelmed, and you know that on the South Shore as well, how congested it is. So we've got to get it right. That's why we had a professional group of people come together, including Braintree Mayor Joe Sullivan, who was a real strong leader in that group. And in 30 days, they turned around recommendations, very solid report that now we're acting on, and we'll be filing legislation this week, actually, to put in place a control board so that we can get in there and really manage the operation and get it up to the level of service that the people in this state deserve.
Joe, did you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor?
Yes, Lieutenant Governor, you know, speaking about the issues we had in February, I know, you know, one of the biggest issues we had was right at the beginning of the end of January, beginning of February, the major storm that kind of kicked off, unfortunately, a harsh February for us. You know, talk to us a little bit about, you know, one of the things that you were thrown into in your first 100 days, which was going, you know, to our area of the state, which is the South Shore, and seeing, and kind of all over the state, and seeing the devastation that a storm like that caused, and kind of what you were able to do to respond to those issues.
Well, first, you know, one of the things that we learned, because this was our first real emergency in terms of weather that we had to deal with, and we were able to witness how emergency management functions here in Massachusetts, and it functioned very well. You know, we spent a lot of time at the NEMA bunker in Framingham. We also visited the Mass DOT highway facility that monitors all the road system in Massachusetts in the Boston area. And we saw how connected the Emergency Operations Center, managed by the state, connected with the cities and towns and their operations centers. And we were able to see in real time how information was shared. And on a web board, you would see, you know, the need pop up, and then we would determine how to deliver resources to help a community in that state. In the area of the South Shore, the way one of the storms hit, it really compromised the seawalls there. And when I went to visit, Marshfield and Scituate and those areas, it was unbelievable how forceful that storm came in and destroyed the seawall and obviously flooded and really caused a lot of damage to the infrastructure system along that coastal area. And we were able to call upon our National Guard and our professionals in DOT and DCR and get heavy equipment in there and people to really shovel out and just restore power and make sure that the community was safe in that area. But it just was a marshaling of resources, really effectively communicating, you know, with a sense of urgency to it. And I was very proud of the system that was in place and how quickly it mobilized to get the resources to the area. One thing that we also discovered, though, it became a point in time after, like, the third storm that we needed more resources, mm-hmm. and we were able to call upon, you know, Pennsylvania and New Jersey and New York and Vermont and Maine, and their National Guard came in with equipment and helped us even more so reach communities that were mostly impacted in our state and help them literally dig out so that we could have people get out to work again. So it, when you think today is a beautiful, you know, day, the weeks are nice now, and you think back to what we lived through, it was extraordinary. They say we won't have a winter like this in another 26,000 years, and I hope that's true.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I think that the governor did a great job when called upon helping communities replenish their snow budgets to be able to stay on top of this. And I believe that your administration has since been active in asking the president to try to get some disaster assistance, get some federal aid to help out with a number of counties that experienced some issues, correct?
Yeah, so there's about $50 million, state and municipal, related to damage that is eligible for reimbursement, and about $350 million related to just snow removal. That's just shoveling, removal, and placing snow in those snow farms. We learned about snow farms this winter. And so we have made our pitch to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Organization, and the vice president met with Governor Baker, and they have declared a disaster state here in Massachusetts. And it's a work in progress as to how much they will reimburse us, but we're working with the federal delegation to determine, you know, how much they will give back to us. In addition to that, what we've done, the monies that we control in the state, we created a pothole fund because obviously the snow melted and then all these potholes have been revealed all around our Commonwealth, and we have $30 million fund that is available to all our cities and towns for them to start right now. I know they're working on pothole recovery and signage and guardrails and all of that right now so that the roads will be up to the condition that they need to be. And, you know, one of the first things that Governor Baker did when he was sworn into office was to release the Chapter 90 funds. These are the funds that the state gives to our cities and towns to, you know, repair our roads and maintain our roads throughout our Commonwealth. That was $100 million, mm-hmm. and we were able to work with our legislative partners and release another $200 million. So that's $330 million that our administration and the legislature has released to our cities and towns for road improvements and infrastructure and pothole relief. I know this isn't like a sexy topic for tonight, but it means a lot for people to know that that government is working, that, you know, the infrastructure needs to be maintained. This is what people expect of their government.
Again, we are speaking with Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito. I think one of the things that we haven't touched upon, and while we have a couple of minutes left with you, I want to give you a chance to kind of talk about something that was done early on that you were kind of a significant part of, because I believe that you had done tours around the state, especially the southeastern quadrant, and that is the executive order that was signed to strengthen municipal partnerships. Talk to me about that.
Yes, I'm very honored to do this. Governor Baker has asked me to be the lead person to connect with our cities and towns throughout our Commonwealth. And he signed an executive order, you know, elevating the relationship to the executive office. So our office is available to our cities and towns, and our cabinet of secretaries and the resources we have to help communities, you know, raise the level of performance so that they can deliver, you know, better services to their community. And we're looking at best practices across the board. We're looking at technical assistance. And we want communities to do better on all levels. And we want the state to do better, too. We've heard from a lot of communities that are frustrated with unfunded mandates and compliance requirements and regulations that we need to really take a look at the state level and be a stronger and better partner with our cities and towns. So I've reached almost every county in our Commonwealth. I've got a couple more to go, and we've been to close to 40 communities now having the conversation about how we can improve the partnership and reach what's called a community compact. And if the community signs a community compact, it will place their community in a better position, a more competitive position for the grants that the state invests in our communities. And I know if a community is doing the right things, operating efficiently, managing and forecasting appropriately, that the investment that we make in that community, state dollars going in, will be leveraged and used to improve the quality of life, create the jobs in the downtown, and do the things that communities need to do to, you know, to elevate their quality. And I just think this is something so important to the governor and I. We campaigned on making Massachusetts great everywhere. That means great schools, safe neighborhoods, and jobs and opportunities. And through this partnership that I'm working on with our cities and towns, I feel confident and optimistic that we will get there.
Joe?
You know, Lieutenant Governor, it's I really find a lot of inspiration in the fact that your experience you're drawing from is from your local experience. And I think as I, you know, talk to a lot of local politicians, both at the town level and the state level, you know, the one thing that they say about the administration between you and the governor, the first thing they say is, well, they were involved, they were selectmen, they were at the local level first. They understand the connection.
They've been there. They've had to do the town meetings. They've had to put forth a budget and be like, oh my God, where's the money? What do we got free cash?
And there's like and there's a small town type of feel to that type of leadership that I think, as you mentioned, is really pulling the state together in a way that I've talked to a lot of people
we haven't seen in
a long time. So I just want to give you a lot of credit for taking that perspective and bringing it right down to the individual towns, because it means a lot to, you know, everyday people and to the local politicians.
Yeah, and it's the right perspective. I mean, Boston's a great city. People come from all over the world to be in Boston, and it's booming. But we need to have that opportunity available in all regions of the state and really understand what the strengths are of a region and play up to those so that we create that good experience no matter where you live in Massachusetts. But we've got some real challenges ahead, there's no doubt. You know, the budgets are real. The issues at the T are real. The connector and the mass healthcare system, real challenges there. And, of course, the RMV, you know, used to be such a customer-friendly place to do business. And there's an area of huge opportunity to do things better. So we've got a long list of things to get to, but we have a really good team. I love working with Governor Baker every day and our secretariats and our cabinet and our agency heads. They're good, you know, good leaders, and they're working together. We feel, you know, We'll do what we're supposed to be doing for the people every single day.
I know you'll appreciate this because it is time appropriate, but you guys realize that this isn't a sprint, that it's a marathon, and being today being, you know, Patriots Day and a marathon Monday, I knew you'd appreciate that comment. I want to throw out there, though, you guys put your administration already put out your budget, $38 billion budget. The House has since put forth their budget. Give me your thoughts on the budget process on the state level, having to do that.
Well, I applaud the legislature and the House for, you know, following our lead and embracing the same spirit of not raising taxes and not raiding the rainy day fund and really looking at efficiencies and costs on our side, the state side, when putting their budget together. So, you know, I applaud the House. They adopted some of the proposals we put together in our budget, and you know they're not too far apart, which is a good place to be. And now the process continues in the Senate, where they will put their policies and ideas forward. So I'm hopeful that we can hold the line on taxes, because people in the state have given their fair share. It's up to the state now to utilize those dollars and stretch them out and not ask for a penny more, and to really keep our stabilization funds intact. So I'm hopeful that through this process and a lot of communication and working together, we'll get to a good result.
What do you foresee the next 100 days being like? Is it a goal-oriented administration where you set benchmarks, that you've already set benchmarks as to what you'd like to achieve, during certain periods of time?
Well, one of the things that is very important to us is this working group on opioid addiction.
Yep.
That is a very serious issue. It's a crisis. It's an emergency in every part of our state, and you are very familiar with this on the South Shore.
Yep.
As well. We've had four public sessions, and now our working group, with under the leadership of Secretary Mary Lou Sutter, is making specific recommendations about our next steps. We've engaged insurance, the health insurers. We've engaged the medical professionals about prescriptions. Of course, our law enforcement and our recovery and addiction advocates to determine how we're going to do this. We continue to have so many overdose deaths in this Commonwealth. I think we're at 218 in this year alone. So we know that we've got to really work hard to get this right. So you will see us releasing our reports in that area as well. It's a very important subject matter.
Yeah, and it wasn't too long ago that there was a that task force, that working group was here in the Plymouth area down at the Memorial Hall. And
yes, from what in Plymouth.
Yeah, and in Plymouth, and that there were a lot of folks who did turn out and ask questions and put forth information. And I think this is a very important step, not only for government, but for community to take a look at this, because this is unlike anything we've ever seen before. Am I correct?
Yes, it is. And despite the fact that we passed legislation and have done certain things, it's just simply not enough. And it's an emergency, and we know it, and we've got to take some next steps. And it's a real challenge for every one of us to embrace and take on. We've got to reduce the amount of death. The other issue is relative to small business. You know, 86% of the firms in Massachusetts have employees under 19 member. And we know that in order for our small businesses to continue to thrive and grow, we've got to really create an economic and regulatory environment that works. So we've asked all of our secretaries to do a top-to-bottom review of all regulations here in the Commonwealth, something that hasn't been done in decades in Massachusetts. So we will be working hard over the upcoming months on looking at regulations that can be sunsetted because they have no benefit whatsoever any longer, and really try to retool and reshape the regulatory structure. And, business costs continue to rise. You know, you'll be hearing more from us about energy and what we do next to expand energy supply here in the Commonwealth, working with our regional partners. And, of course, healthcare costs continue to be a challenge for all of us.
Yeah, well, that hits a chord with me, Lieutenant Governor, because I'm actually about to file for an LLC, so I'll be joining the small businesses here in Massachusetts. So it's good to hear top to bottom reform, because I think going into this, I was a little concerned about, you know, some of the regulations, and my company will only have 3 employees. So I think, you know, having a small business reform or at least looking at your regulations is critical to individuals that want to actually start businesses and are looking to invest in Massachusetts.
Yes, very good. Well, good luck with your next endeavor.
Thank you.
Probably my last question before we let you go. Again, we've been speaking with Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito. Last thing I want to leave you with and kind of get a gauge of where the administration stands with it, the bid for the 2024 Olympics. Any thought as far as where things stand with it? We've heard a lot in the news where it's kind of back and forth and support might be waning. How are you feeling about this? And what's the administration feeling?
Yeah, it's an interesting place that we find ourselves in here in Massachusetts, that Boston is, you know, on a list of being considered for the 2024 Olympics. I mean, we live in an incredible state with rich history, and it's really a good thing that we would be considered. The flip side of that is the process. And what's the product, and what is the end game here? And I've heard, and so has the governor, from many people around the Commonwealth that, you know, we've got to be really careful about using taxpayer dollars for this event, because we have our own infrastructure issues and challenges everywhere here in our Commonwealth, and we don't want to see, using these taxpayer dollars in a way that's not fair for all of the people here in our Commonwealth. So I think there's a process here. Communication is really important for the Olympics Committee to explain, you know, their process and what they envision as the ultimate product. And we, as a governor and our team, working with the legislative leaders, have our own third-party consultant, if you will, just making sure that we're protecting the taxpayers throughout this process.
Governor, you want to say anything? Lieutenant Governor, do you want to say anything in closing in regards to your administration's first 100 days before we let you go?
Well, just that it is such an honor to serve. The governor and I, we're in it, working hard each and every day. But it's just such a pleasure and an honor and that there's a sense of urgency to our work. You know, we're here for a period of time. Our term is 4 years, and we just really want to use every single day. Every day matters, and we're just, you know, rolling up our sleeves and getting the basic work done. And certainly I hope that people feel that we are responding to what they expected of us, and that we're just working hard and enjoying the experience.
And we here on Monday Night Talk, myself and Joe, appreciate you and the governor have been regular guests since before and after being sworn in, even when you were out on the campaign trail, have utilized this, not only this show, but the station, to inform folks on the South Shore. So we want to thank you for continuing, and we look forward to a long-lasting relationship with your administration.
Good. Well, we'll be talking again soon.
Excellent. This she is, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito. Enjoy the warmer days ahead, Lieutenant Governor.
Yes, have a good night. Thanks for having me.
There she is, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito, our final guest of the evening. Joe, it's been quite an evening. I know you didn't get a chance to really participate in most of it, but I think you kind of you were part of probably the most important part, no?
I think I was.
And you know what, and I want to kind of throw this out there to folks who listen to our show on a regular basis, that there are ways for you to reach out if you ever want. If there's a particular guest you'd like to have, we would like to have, you know, more interaction with folks in Cohasset, Scituate, Hingham, Weymouth, Braintree, even in the southern area of Plimpton, Plymouth, Wareham, you name it, or even further in Pembroke, Abington, like we just had the Abington Selectmen on, the Whitmans, the Hansons. I know I'm overlooking probably a couple of communities, but we want to have more folks from those communities on. We want to hear from folks in Norwell and beyond, just to kind of touch base with us and talk about the issues. This is a community radio station. I would like to think that this is a community show. Always feel free to email us at MondayNightTalk@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook, Monday Night Talk on 95.9 WATD. Like the page, make comments. You can even say, you know what? We do snail mail. If you want to send mail to Monday Night Talk, 130 Enterprise Drive, 02050, I think.
Yes, that's the zip code in Marshfield.
I'm seeing that you're a Marshfield guy. you had better know it.
Oh, but, I do.
But we enjoy having, you know, good guests on here. We like having good guests. Any suggestions? Maybe we do more interaction and open up the phone lines. But we want to make sure when we do it, it isn't that we're just sitting here and talking about nothing. We want to talk about something that affects the community, that the community can weigh in on.
You know, and if you send an idea in, maybe Kevin will listen to you because he doesn't listen to me.
Come on now.
I'm kidding. We've had some guests on that were my requests.
That's correct. And yes. I usually give you credit for that as well.
Yeah, you do, which is also very rare.
But you know what? That's why you should savor it, because it is so rare.
Oh, Kevin.
We have a great working relationship. And again, if you've missed any of the segments from this evening show, whether it's Kevin Lowney or you missed the forum that we had with the folks running for Abington Selectman, or Karen Polito, Lieutenant Governor Karen Polito, those segments, we do work to make sure that before the next show, those podcasts are up and available. Well, that's all the show that we have until next week at 6:15. Joe, what do you want to say? You want to say goodbye?
Have a good night.
There you go. Until next time, have a great evening.